Our Psalter lesson today is taken from Psalm 8. If you're not yet familiar with it and you have children in Sunday school, you will soon become familiar with it because that is their text of the month. The children are learning Psalm 8. So listen for this text. Listen for this psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Join me now, if you will, in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, grant now that the words of my mouth, and indeed the meditations of all of our hearts, may be acceptable, even pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let us consider today the mystery of wonder. We could begin a list of what inspires wonder. We might wonder at the ocean, its waves, its depth, its power. If we are very inclined to wonder, we might linger over its smell or its color. Why is it blue here and green here? Physics, of course, will give us an answer to that question, but it cannot answer for us this question: why is the blue of the ocean beautiful? Or maybe we wonder at the flora and fauna of creation, the sedums in our garden that return year after year. We do nothing, and again they come back. Or the grasses that cushion our walkings and perfume the air when they are cut. Flowers burst forth in the springtime in profusion, but how often do we linger over those azaleas on our walk? How often do we pause to drink in the scent that hangs in the air? Novelist Alice Walker writes, I think it makes God mad if you walk by the color purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it. People think pleasing God is all God cares about, but any fool living in the world can see it always trying to please us back. Astute readers of Walker will know that's a paraphrase, but the truth of it remains. Or maybe the wonder of falling in love. It's a simple thing to value what another person does for us, or even to assess the effects of lust on our behavior, but how often do we stop and ponder the reality of falling in love, and perhaps the even still more wonderful reality of staying in love? When we feel it, it sweeps over us. Time flies when we're with the one we love, and it drags in perpetuity in those moments when we are away, or so the poets tell us. But how can we measure the way that love makes a hero out of a coward and reduces to fools otherwise careful and reserved persons? Of course, the mystery of wonder could easily be reduced to the practice of mindfulness, and I do want to give mindfulness its due. It is a good thing. to be intentional. It is a good thing to make note of your surroundings, to know yourself. But the mystery of wonder runs deeper than what we can observe and theorize. The story is told of a young man born into slavery in Missouri, stolen away from his mother by captors and taken off to Arkansas, where he was bartered for a $300 racehorse before finally one day returning to his home in Missouri. A keen intellect changed the course of his life from what it might otherwise have been. He entered high school, then university, then graduate school, finishing at the University of Iowa in 1896. When this man was asked years later about his thirst for knowledge, he answered, "When I was a young boy, I said to the Lord, 'Tell me the mysteries of the universe.' Then God said, 'That mystery is reserved for me alone.' So the young man said, 'Lord, then tell me the mystery of the peanut.' And God said, 'Well, now, George, that's a little more nearly your size.' And George Washington Carver went on to unfold the mysteries of the peanut. In his lab, he produced countless wonders, improvements on life, all born out of a wonder at a simple legume. To contemplate wonder and the mystery of wonder is, to be sure, to come face to face with our own finiteness. But this is no surprise. We all know that we are limited. We have limited lifespans. We have limited capacities. We understand this. But to come face to face with wonder is to witness the creative power of God, and to be reminded of our place in God's creation. But it is more. The mystery of wonder invites us to join with God in rejoicing in the overflowing of all that life hungers to abound for you and me. Long before the Hubble telescope radioed back fantastical images of horsehead nebulas and the birth of stars and clouds of heavenly matter, the psalmist wrote, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars and all that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of, the mortals that you care?" The psalm opens with a celebration of God, of God's creative power, and then quickly pivots. It shifts its attention to a celebration of humankind, the crowning achievement of God's work, of all of God's creative power. Everything else is simply commanded into being. Let there be, let there be, let there be. But the human, we know, instead, is crafted with God's own fingers, filled with God's own breath, and then tasked with God's own authority to have dominion over all the earth. To be human is to be harnessed to creation by God's own hand, with the power to decide whether to cultivate it or to destroy it. But to be harnessed to creation is to be bound as well by God's own hand to wonder. Can it be any accident that the very creature that God put in charge over all of the others is the creature that God created with a capacity to wonder? My friend Betty McClaney was one of God's own saints, if ever there was one. She served churches all her life long as a director of Christian education in a number of churches all over the Southeast. on the day that the Presbyterian Church was going to vote whether or not to allow children to receive the Lord's Supper, she was pressed into service minutes before the motion came to the floor of the assembly. Now, I hope that with our open invitation to the table here at Morningside, it comes as a shock to you. You may marvel that there was ever a time when children weren't invited to the communion table, but that was the case in the Presbyterian Church until the 80s. But as Betty tells the story, friends of hers pressed in on her at the very last minute, educators, every one of them, and said to her, "Betty, you must speak for us. They will listen to you. You've served so long in so many churches. They will hear what you have to say." But Betty responded, I'm not a theologian. There are all these fine professors. You should ask one of them." But they pressed her again. She said, No, I am a children's educator. I prepare Sunday school lessons." But they pressed her all the more. And finally, she relented. Betty told me once she remembered walking up to the microphone and noticing that her hands were shaking. She quickly put them in her pockets so that the 1,000 ministers and elders watching her would not see how nervous she was. She approached the microphone and said simply, "I am told that it is the wonder of the Lord's Supper that causes you to question whether or not children should be invited to come to the table of Jesus Christ. And I am told that the mysteries of the Eucharist are too great for a child to understand. But," she said, "I ask you, who better than children who live lives of wonder day in and day out, whose whole lives are filled with wonder, are better equipped to understand the mysteries of God? Who indeed? We run into mystery and wonder every single day. We slam into stunning moments, take our breath away moments from sunrise to sunset, into the twilight, into sleep when our minds fill with dreams and we awake again. Have you ever paused to consider the wonder of going to sleep and waking up? If it's elusive, I'm sure you have. Wonder. Do we ever pause to savor the haunting, lingering smell of clover, the sweetness in the air? Do we notice the fertile, earthy aroma of the leaves rustling on the ground this time of year until the rain falls on them and releases the fullness of their fertile capacities? Do we wonder? How often are we captivated by the of wonder? H. Lewis Patrick wrote, "So often this of wonder escapes us. We look at everyday life, our own life or the life of the world, but instead of the it's blah. It's blah of what we know and what we somehow think we understand. We see through everything we want to see. Every question has an answer. You come to the blah of class after class after class, all questions with answers. The blah of a world where we are moved around by virtue of digits assigned to us by computers, known by numerals instead of names. The blah of plastic replacing wood, powdered stuff replacing milk, soap operas instead of real life. Eventually, we do indeed see what is in everything until there's nothing left to see. And we look through the slits of our eyes knowingly like some kind of downstairs maid until all the prophet can say to us, to you and to me, the likes of us, is, see, you blind, listen, listen, you deaf, to that wonder that is deep down in everyday things. Lest we wax too poetical over the created order of God, let us remember that nature has the power to thrash and to destroy, to inflict grievous wounds and unleash terrible suffering, to make a God out of the natural world is to idolize a fickle master. But the God of creation, the God who upholds creation, the God under creation, maybe the God behind creation, the God in whom all of creation rests, that God leaves fingerprints all over the universe. There's no need to decode them or to group them into a system of belief. It is sufficient to find within us the capacity to pause long enough to say, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place, this beautiful room where we gather for worship. But the Lord is in this place, the breakfast room where we spilled our coffee and organized our days. And the Lord is in this place, the underpass, where folks gather to get out from under the rain, to store meager belongings. And God is in this place, the place where hurt comes in, the place where war and sometimes random violence slash at the peace of God, or where words and inferences cut like a knife. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in the midst of the grime and the grit. The Lord is in the midst of the boring and the mundane, those places where minutes are taken and hours are wasted. The mystery of wonder invites us to disturb our peace with awareness, not to pacify our turmoil, but to understand it in God's creation. The mystery of wonder is the paradox that God-given intelligence denies the giver until all other possibilities have been exhausted. And the mystery of wonder is the same words that can cut and tear are the words that can heal and show love. The mystery of wonder is the grace of God. Walt Whitman wrote, "When I heard the learned astronomer, when the proofs, the figures were ranged in columns before me, when I was shown the charts and the diagrams to add, divide, and measure them, when I, sitting, heard the astronomer where he lectured with much applause in the lecture room, how soon I became unaccountable, tired, and sick, till rising and gliding out, I wandered off by myself into the mystical, moist night air, and from time to time looked up in perfect silence at the stars." What if, just for a minute, we slow down, breathe in, breathe out? What if, just for a minute, we silence everything around us, turn off the ringer, then turn off the buzzer, then turn off the radio and the television? What if just for a minute we silence every voice within us but the voice of the one who breathes our life in and out. In and out. Then we might say, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.